I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 until 4 every day, a new show. And then right after 4, the show goes and transforms into a podcast. John and Ken on Demand on the iHeart app. So you don't have to miss a single minute anymore. John and Ken, 24 hours a day. This is everybody's dream. Is Ken with us? It says he's connected. By now, he would have objected to something. Just keep going. Keep going. I'll figure it out. That's well, that's inspiring.
Well, you got a pile of papers in there. You got a story to talk about there and somewhere.
Sure, I could. Or I could just, you know, let the silence hang over
silence
all of us.
Silence is good sometimes.
I don't like the silence. That doesn't do well for me.
Why was the show silent today? You got to talk to Eric. I don't know. Okay. Among the things we have coming up later in the show, we're going to talk to Andy Bales. Andy Bales published an op-ed editorial in, it was in the Whittier Daily News. I guess it was in the Southern California News Group papers. And Andy Bales is the man who runs the Union Rescue Mission. On Skid Row. We talk about him frequently because he is one of the very few voices of reason and rationality. His Union Rescue Mission have helped a lot of homeless people and actually been successful in getting them back on track. And he saw this housing first philosophy come years ago, and he predicted it was going to be a disaster. He told everybody it was going to be a disaster. They ignored him. And now the disaster has happened. We have tens of thousands of people on the street and thousands dying, 2,000 plus a year. And it takes about 5 years to build a single housing unit. So during that 5 years to build one unit, 8,000 people die in the streets. And he has this op-ed piece we're describing you know, how we got here, how suddenly these homeless executives, these activists got together and said, we have a new idea. It's going to be called Housing First. And this is what's going to get us. Enough with people who manage homelessness like Andy Bales. We are going to solve homelessness. Because Andy says what you have to do is provide them with some immediate shelter of some kind. And they said, no. That's the old-fashioned way. Don't you know times have changed? Things are different. Now it's housing first. Well, what do we have now? Now we got, in the county, we have 70,000 bodies lining the streets. And they're on fentanyl, and they're dying by the thousands. And all these experts were wrong. And I wonder, see, this is what I'm This is a big question I have with almost every story we do. Are they stupid or are they corrupt? Or are they both? Does one lead to the other? Because what they've done is they had a theory that would ensure many more millions of dollars of tax money come pouring in, you know, to build housing. And so they got that. There was a reward, even though the theory is a failure. It's a housing first is a flat out failure. If you see anybody say otherwise, they're stupid or they're lying, or maybe they're corrupt. Housing first is a failure, but its side effect is it's made a lot of people rich in the homeless industrial complex. They're rich. They guilted everybody into passing two taxes, one in L.A. County and one in L.A. City tax. So many of us are paying both taxes, billions of dollars going into the system. Clearly, it's a failure. We have more homeless than ever. And now it's so overwhelming, nobody knows what to do. And there's like no end in sight. Because the original theory was extremely damaging. And sometimes you can make a decision that damages a situation because you have a new theory. You have a brand new theory, and you force a change in a situation, and it turns out to be so disastrous you never come back from it. And I'm starting to wonder if that's what we got here. Anyway, Andy Bales will talk about it after 3 o'clock.
All right. I'm here.
Welcome. How are you?
Yeah, I'm kind of distraught and a bit panicked. I see you're sympathetic.
You're almost never distraught or panicked.
Well, I mean, this writer strike. What am I going to do? What am I going to watch? What am I going to... I've been wandering around all morning trying to figure out if all my shows disappear. Wow, you see the attention given to this story?
Well, major industry.
I understand
lots of jobs.
That, but... It's dopey shows. It's not like, yes, jobs, but honestly.
They should get other jobs.
I don't know about getting other jobs. Obviously, yes, if you're struggling and you really are just barely making it and you've been doing this for years, you might want to consider another line of work. You're correct, because what they're trying to do. Look, when I heard this and I heard most of the dispute is about streaming. Mm-hmm. Well, think about it now. You probably could not have another show written, but with all the content that's already out there, you could probably spend the next 20 years watching all the shows that you haven't had a chance to see that you've been interested in, right? There's so much content now, that's what's going to reduce the pay. There's just so many choices with all the streaming services and everything else that's out there on the internet and social media and that people consume. I don't know how you can expect, and this is the conundrum. You might get more work, but you'll probably get less pay.
Yes.
There's just so many sources now for material to be disseminated to the public.
Because it used to be, when in the three network world, you could have three shows getting 40 million people apiece watching every night.
And there it was the opposite, because you had to compete with a whole lot of other writers to get on one of those shows, right? But then you probably made good money when you considered, the reruns and the syndication and all the other benefits. But now we have the opposite. There's a million places to look at entertainment now. So I don't know how you could expect
to
make the kind of money you might have made. Let's say you wrote for Friends. That's even, 25, 30 years ago, right? That show?
Yeah.
But that's pretty much back then. There was the three networks and maybe a couple of other... Some cable channels that drew some audience. But, those writers are incredibly filthy rich for that TV show. But you can't expect that to happen today. We're not going to have another huge... where 10, 20, 30 million people watch every week. It's not going to happen.
I got a friend. He's an entertainment lawyer. And he says that... places like Netflix and Amazon Prime do not want to share audience totals with anybody. Nobody really knows how many people watch all these streaming hits. And they won't tell the writers. And they won't explain like how many of these shows actually bring new subscribers, right? Like there must be some shows that cause people to say, wow, I heard that's really great. I'm going to have to subscribe to Netflix now. And then you start paying your $17 a month.
Right.
Right. So the writers don't know for sure what's a hit or not. You get an idea because it's discussed in the media and you hear friends talking about it. So you have an idea of what the hits are. But you don't have any exact numbers. And these obviously these companies are taking in billions of dollars in streaming fees. They're also spending billions of dollars to develop content, but it looks like the writers are getting squeezed. They're not sharing in the riches. And that's what they're going on strike over.
Oh.
But I'm
thinking there may be riches, but when you have so many streaming services competing for audience, and yeah, let's say you put out a show and it gets pretty good critics reviews or whatever and a little bit of buzz, it may still have just a few hundred thousand people that watch it.
Could be.
We go back to Friends, which would have 10, 20, 30 million people watching it every week. I mean, see the difference there?
Oh, yeah.
How can you expect to say, well, we're rolling in riches? But then they're going to say, well, but you have 1,000 of those shows drawing just a few hundred thousand people.
Maybe
not 1,000, but hundreds.
And these streaming series, they're like 8, 10 episodes. You know, years ago, the network series would be 24
episodes.
Well,
they turn out 24 to 26, right?
In the old days, back in the 50s and 60s, they do 39 episodes a year.
Right.
Now it's single digits, like 8 episodes. It's like, whoa. And
the wild card here, which I heard this morning, which got my attention, is AI.
Yes.
Apparently they're very concerned that artificial intelligence could start writing a lot of the shows and taking over.
What they want to ban is artificial intelligence writing a what they call a spec script.
Right.
You know, writing a general outline of a script. And then handing that to a regular writer and saying, okay, just polish this up, fill in the blanks, make the joke sharp or whatever. But the basic idea is going to come out of artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence, what you could do is you could feed in, let's say it's a detective show, right? Just feed in 10,000 detective show scripts, right? Yes. Because there's a formula to everything, right? So you could come up with a formula script to keep, you know, and come up with, 25 shows for next year.
Right.
I mean, when I was a kid, I watched detective shows obsessively. And then after a while, I realized, wait, this is the same script.
Yeah, it's just repurposed.
Right.
Reworked a few details.
And sometimes it was the same producers.
Yes.
One show would end its run, they'd start another show, and they took all the scripts with them.
Not much different today if you look at the networks. How many CSIs are there? How many of these other shows with the same basic theme?
I don't watch much anymore, but I've read sitcoms were like that too. Like Bewitched, which was on back in the 60s and 70s. They ran through the same scripts like twice. Everything played twice. Because the show ran 8 years and they were out of ideas, but the network wanted to keep going. So let's just take
And Dora turns somebody into a monkey or a cat or a dog.
I knew Bewitched because I watched a lot of them during the
lockdown.
And
Darren's in trouble. So basically what the union wants, the Writers Guild, they don't want AI products to be deemed writers. And they don't want it to be used to generate original material for the development of TV shows and movies.
Right.
They want to keep the core purpose of actual writers. What also hurt the writers years ago, too, was reality TV. That took out some of it. So
that came out of another strike, I heard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that, it's like McDonald's. Whenever the fast food workers complain about they don't make enough money, there's now 3 McDonald's that are entirely mechanically operated. There are no employees. The whole system is automated. And it came out of strikes and employees constantly complaining. And it's like, what? We don't want to hear about it anymore.
Oh, we're late for the break. I just want to mention my jaw dropped yesterday. For the first time in months, I went to Costco. And yes, there's self-serve. And there were kiosks at the food court to order. And I'm like, wow. Because Costco to me has always treated their employees very well. They have very good, pretty good pay and very good benefits. And I thought they'd be one of the last to start to automate. When I saw that yesterday, I said, it is a different world, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard something about that today. Well, I'll mention it when we come back.
All right, John and Ken, you have a chance for money coming up next. KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Just one more note. We were talking about artificial intelligence. I heard today on a newscast that there's some World Economic Research Organization, I forget the name of it, but they predict that AI is going to destroy 85 million jobs in short order.
I believe it.
In the next few years. They also claim that potentially it can create 97 million jobs But that's going to be a lot of people having to learn skills that they don't have right now and are not going to have for a while. So I think there's
going to... What would that be, managing the AI? What would the jobs be, I wonder?
Well, somebody is going to have to work the AI. The AI just can't... You have to feed it. You have to program it.
No, we're always told in doomsday stories that they don't need us.
Oh, eventually, yeah. Eventually,
they can accumulate knowledge and over time just get bigger and stronger.
Yeah, and then they'll kill us.
They'll kill us, right?
I don't know. It's a stupid world.
It's something to be reckoned with, though, especially when you talk about certain fields of work, which would include not just entertainment, but you think about it, even in surgery, medical field, it's possible, robotic surgery. I saw a story last week that they're trying to get old people used to having robots to be their home health workers because there's a real shortage of people in that field to help the elderly with their daily tasks.
You know what?
And they're introducing robots, AI,
I'd be for that.
The home.
Because, you get some really low-level characters in...
Yeah, somebody doesn't shower or might steal from you.
Yeah, well, yeah, my father-in-law had money stolen from him.
Oh, he did?
By one of these, day nurses. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She looted his wallet.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh. Well, they're not paid enough, so you can see. They're desperate. Why are you picking on people that don't make enough money? They're sometimes caused to do desperate things.
You know what? This whole attitude that I'm not getting enough money, so I've got to blackmail you, go on strike.
It's the theory behind shoplifting shouldn't be a crime.
Shoplifting shouldn't be a crime.
People need that, right?
And it's like
it's been denied by the capitalist system to them.
You have to know. You should know that you always have to look for a better job or get the skills and education to qualify you for the better job. That is like rule one of life as when you become an adult.
In fact, we'll be talking along these lines later on in the show because the Times did a special today on what percentage of fast food workers in LA County are homeless.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that John's just talking about. It's like, well, you can expect to be paid $50,000 to $100,000 a year for, stuff and fries in a container.
Look, yeah, the story's on a 53-year-old guy bitching that he doesn't have enough money. He's got to live in his car. It's like, wow, I think you made a few other bad calls in life.
I mean,
you end up living in a car and working at a McDonald's. That's on you.
No matter how hard you think you work, there's a certain skill level that means you're replaceable, which means they're not going to pay you a hell of a lot. It just works that way.
You know, and you can bitch about greedy organizations all you want. That's what they are, all right? And that's why AI is going to take off and put a lot of people out of work because it's going to make the company much more profitable.
But also with fast food, it keeps the prices low for people to buy the food. If you're going to start paying the workers an incredible, quote, living wage, you're going to have a much more expensive meal that others are going to say, I can't afford that anymore. They're not going to go there. Yeah, that's the idea behind fast food. It's fast and it's cheap.
Your employer pays you because they have to, because they think you help them make money. They don't really want to pay for your health care. They don't really want to care. They don't care about your pension. They don't care if you get sick and die when you're 68 years old. They don't care. They're paying because they need somebody working to make them money. And if they get AI to do that work, you're out.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
You can hear the radio show from 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock. If you missed anything, you can go to the iHeart app. It's called John and Ken on Demand. It's the same show as a podcast, and that gets posted shortly after 4 o'clock. And you can have us all day and all night.
Now, contrary to popular belief, the Moist Line doesn't have writers. So we don't have a strike. If you want to participate in the Moist Line, you leave a message. There's no payment for it. You can use the iHeart radio app, the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. 1-877-664-7886. And we play those calls Friday during the 3 o'clock hour. Because just got an email, John, from our union. And they want us to act in solidarity with the Writers Guild. So I guess that means we walk out?
What are we supposed to? You mean SAG after?
Oh, yeah. You didn't get the email? It just came.
I don't read emails.
They want us to join the picket line between 1 and 5 today at Netflix, Warner Brothers, and Sony.
But we don't have to go on strike.
Well, they're calling for solidarity.
Solidarity just means rah-rah stuff.
Well, that's why they want you to go join the picket line.
Right. To chant.
Yes. To chant and carry signs. Yes.
I don't know. That doesn't get anywhere. That's not a productive thing to do.
To chant and carry signs?
Correct.
Hey, ho, 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 John and Ken, I gotta go?
Yeah, that's right. We don't go. A lot of people have chanted that. We don't go.
We'll be talking to Chris Adler, KFI News, after 2 o'clock, who did go to one of these pickets today.
I find nearly all public protests to be silly and futile.
You didn't see all the May Day marchers yesterday? It was a big story on the local news.
Well, that was a California government holiday.
It was?
Oh, sure, because it's a communist holiday from the Soviet Union.
Right, so it's an actual California state holiday?
Well, in solidarity with the Soviet communists, yes.
Well, that's how it originated. Right. Now it's become a workers' holiday, which I thought was Labor Day, but
now everybody's
great. Now it's May Day, and it's all about May the people Day. Who feel they're underpaid.
May Ooh. Day, when I was a kid, is I remember giving my mother a bouquet of paper flowers that I made in grammar school. That May Day was supposed to be like a sign of spring.
Oh, was it?
Yes, when I was a kid.
Yeah, we did something when I was in Catholic school with the Virgin Mary in May, but I don't remember what it was. Yeah. And flowers and stuff.
You know,
you're right.
You know, it's just more obnoxious socialism crap. Shut up. Go to work.
All right. Well, exciting news from the world of let's get the media's attention by sending in the military. We're going to give you an update soon on the announcement by Adipati Dhu that the California Highway Patrol and the National Guard would go to San Francisco to try to help with the fentanyl crisis. But the story today also is that Joe Biden is sending 1,500 active duty troops to the southern border because Title 42 is coming to an end. Next week, actually. We've been talking about this for months because Title 42, they think, migrants believe when that policy ends, it's really an open door into the U.S. They won't get deported. Yeah, it ends on May 11th.
They're going to...
They think illegal crossings could double to 10 or 11,000 a day in the coming weeks. Nobody really knows, but these are the estimates.
I heard 90,000 people have crossed the border in just the last few days. 90,000.
Wow. I see a headline that Biden's spokesperson says that the illegal immigration is down by 90% at the border.
That's a lie.
That Corinne Jean-Pierre.
I pay no attention to anything out of her mouth.
The only thing is, remember, they were pulling a new trick. They're going to reclassify people so they're not considered illegal immigrants.
That's right. It's like everything. Crimes aren't crimes anymore. Illegal crossings aren't illegal crossings. Therefore, all categories of crime and illegal activity is all down to nothing.
All right. Well, the Border Patrol chief said that in a 3-day period over the weekend, they arrested more than 22,000 migrants. So I don't know
that tells you how many people came over the border, right?
Actually, that's only like a third. Don't they miss two-thirds of the people?
Yeah, so that 90,000 estimate, that's not too far off, is it?
Right. But you have kind of a mishmash the last few years. Since Biden became president, some believe they should surrender at the border because they'll get asylum and they'll get to stay in the U.S. rather than have to dealing with running away all the time, you know, from border agents. That kind of started when Biden became president. The idea was just surrender and declare asylum.
The cartels are putting out constant messages on social media to people in Central America and Mexico to come here. And they make up all kinds of stories that creates frenzies. You know, they give the false impression that, hey, you know, today's a free day. Come on. Yeah. Going to be no consequences. And often there are no consequences. They don't even have to make it up.
Right. Most often the government sends National Guard rather than active duty soldiers. The idea, again, and we've talked, well, actually, I think we talked about this yesterday, is they're supposed to do some of the background work so Border Patrol agents can stay more on the front lines. They just go down there, I don't know what, to fill the office positions?
Well,
or maybe oversee the detention centers?
Because according...
So the agents can be more where the crossings are.
Because under the law, military personnel cannot act as law enforcement on American soil. So they can't arrest migrants. They can help with some of the administrative tasks. This is the law. Right. They can process migrants who ask for asylum. And right. And so we've had thousands of troops deployed at the border periodically for years. Trump sent 5,000 down at one time. The Pentagon had sent 2,500 recently as well. So this is an extra 1,500. And it's guys who are going to sit in chairs.
Right.
I think they're shipping 15,000 chairs that this crew can sit in.
And you have to remember, this is reality versus perception. Title 42 was implemented by Trump back in 2020. It was a way to cut down on border crossings because of the pandemic. They could turn people away immediately from certain countries. But the problem now isn't so much that Title 42 is ending, it's the message that it's ending. See, what happens in many countries in Central America and even all the way over to Haiti and South America, the message is basically very much dumbed down to Title 42 overcome, U.S. wide open. And John's right, that's what the smugglers sell everybody. So that's going to explain the surge more than the practical effect of Title 42 ending, if you see the difference I'm trying to make here, distinction.
Well, it's what the cartels communicate to the public
to the people,
down there.
Right,
and the cartels are controlling the message. They're not paying attention to a Biden press release or what that lying spokesperson says. What they're paying attention to is what the cartels send them on their social media.
Right.
And they believe it.
They believe it, and it because it gets customers. It gets people to, you know, people hooked, like, okay. It's just like DACA. We're still suffering the effects of DACA from, what was that, 2012? That was Obama's plan to let young people stay in the country if they were brought here by their parents as children. That we're still paying for that because there's still so many unaccompanied minors showing up at the border. That's one that now has lasted, 11 years with a big problem.
Even if it's been declared illegal, still less.
That doesn't get through, no.
Yeah. No. By the way, they got their cheap headline. Even the Wall Street Journal, which should know better, wrote the headline, Biden to deploy active duty troops to southern border as Title 42 ends. And while that is literally true, it's wildly misleading because it would give you the impression that you now have these swarms of, it's going to be like a military invasion, and they're going to be tackling and dragging away everybody who crosses the border. No, they're going to work at desks. They're not going to stop a single person.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, coming up after 2 o'clock, we'll check in on the big writer's strike. KFI's Chris Adler has gone to one of the picket sites, and we'll get a live report just after the news at 2 o'clock.
And when we have a minute, I have a short fan letter to Deborah Mark.
Oh, go ahead now.
Oh,
sure.
I mean,
I was going to give you some exciting news too, but that better than what I have.
This will be quick. Deborah actually got this. This is a real letter. Mm. Deborah.
An actual letter or an email?
What is this? An email?
No, this was in the mail. No return address, by the way.
This was really good.
by your voice.
Ken, you're going to love it.
No, no return address.
I can tell right away by Eric's response and yours what we're going to get here. And Giggly John.
Deborah, You make me sick. Your voice is so annoying. You have no pitch or any modulation whatsoever. You sound like a 10-year-old immature child. So I stopped listening to KFI because of you, and I switched.
What?
It's all because of me.
I'll repeat.
No, I'm concerned, yeah.
So I stopped listening to KFI because of you, and I switched to an FM station, and what the hell? I heard your annoying voice for a commercial for a male enhancement drug.
Oh, still?
Yeah, it's still out there.
You didn't get a residual deal on
no,
that,
No,
did
I
you?
Didn't, and well, I will never do something like that again.
WTF. Jesus Christ, who the hell would hire you with your horrible radio voice? Just go away, would you?
Oh, now I feel bad.
Do you?
Well, I think that was pretty harsh.
That was the meanest. But you know what? That person, I'm assuming that it was a guy,
yeah,
has no you know what, because that person didn't put a return address. Because that person is a coward.
What would you do with this return address?
I would send a little letter back.
See, how long have you been in this business?
Oh, God, so many years. I know, Ken. I know. I talked about you today, Ken. I talked about you today because I showed this letter to Chris Little and Michelle Cube Kelly and other people. And I said, you know what? I have written back to people like this. But Ken always says, why do you waste your time? Don't write back. Don't write back. And sometimes I do and sometimes I don't.
Never.
Well, talk to producer Ray. We call it count to 10. And by the time you're done counting to 10, you probably calm down and you don't want to just hit the reply button.
You count to 10.
You send me emails occasionally from listeners and you seem worked up. And every occasionally you do respond. I see you writing back to
I
them.
Do.
Don't do that. I know.
I do. But I just think it's funny because, first of all, I would like to see that person do what we all do. Right? On the air, putting ourselves
this
out there.
This is not a ratio.
AI is going to replace us all. It doesn't matter.
And I don't care. I've been successful. I do voiceover work. I'm on movies and TV. This guy can go, you know
this
what.
This guy's mentally disturbed.
Yes, I do.
And he probably doesn't even wear pants.
I'm sure he doesn't. I'm sure he's listening right now and doing something.
Yeah. Well, I got a good laugh out of it.
I know,
count to 10 and give it to me.
Very nice.
And let me say, before people start inundating me with mail, I'm not opening them anymore. I'm not.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm done.
But we don't really get too many letters anymore.
You sound very seductive on that mail enhancement commercial.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Mail enhancement.
Mail enhancement.
You called
it
a mail announcement. A mail announcement.
The mail enhancement commercial.
Well, I guess you're saying, you are announcing that the mail is here.
Yes.
Take a look down there. We were just talking about how Biden is going to bring troops to the border because Title 42 is ending. Now, we switch to San Francisco, where the announcement was made a couple of weeks ago by Governor Dippity Doo that the National Guard and the California Highway Patrol are going to head to San Francisco to help crack down on the drug problems. Well, yesterday was the first day for that deployment. The San Francisco Chronicle sent a bunch of reporters. They saw nothing.
What a shock.
They saw nobody. Mm-hmm. The official response from CHP is that we've already assigned 75 officers to San Francisco. It consists of volunteers from one of our units, according to the CHP commissioner. The Chronicle did not spot any patrols on a three-hour morning walk through the two neighborhoods where officials said officers would be deployed Monday.
It's a fake policy. It's again to get the headlines. It's like the military troops going to the Mexico border. It's just for stupid headlines. And it gives you a talking point to the reporters.
They talked to Del Seymour, who is a neighborhood business owner and a nonprofit leader. He saw a couple of cops on motorbikes. He snapped a picture of two patrol cars, but he didn't see anybody get out of their car or do any enforcement. And I'm not even sure that it was CHP. I think it may have been San Francisco police. My favorite, though, is that yesterday was a quieter day. You know why, John?
Why?
The first of the month. People get their benefit checks and some take hotel rooms because the money only goes so far. They use it all up in the first day. What do? You buy lottery tickets, drugs, and you get a hotel room.
Yes.
And you splurge, right? Until the money runs out and you get a benefit check on a Monday.
Those are the three
first of the month.
Three main purchasing categories.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, again, this seemed like a lot of hoopla. Now, I realize it was only the first day, but if you're announcing a policy like this and you're serious about it, I expected the opposite, they would act like they're doing a lot the first day or two, and then after a week, you wouldn't see anybody doing anything.
He's a complete fraud.
Oh, he is a fraud.
He was mayor.
There's no follow through.
He was mayor of San Francisco starting around 20 years ago. And look what's happened to San Francisco in the last 20 years. Do you think he has any interest in the city? He's never shown, even when he was mayor. He was mayor for 8 years. And everything kept getting worse and worse and more disgusting and more dirty. Like, he's a Garcetti. They're both the same guy.
The Tenderloin and Soma neighborhoods. Everyone thought it was quieter. They did talk to one homeless guy, Julian Moore, who is unhoused and sleeps on a nearby corner, said that actually drug dealing's down because there's been a lot of police activity over the last couple of weeks. He said he was coughing. He's been diagnosed with lung disease and congenital heart failure. Wow. And he claims the city workers came recently and threw away my tent. He's waiting on a medical review to get prioritized for housing throughout the city. This is usually what you see when you see these stories, like in these progressive news sites. They find the one person with a lot of health problems who really wants housing, but he's on a list.
He's self-inflicted health problems.
Yeah, Moore uses drugs, he admitted.
Yes.
And he says, the police just say, don't use them in front of us. That's what he said they tell him.
See, nobody's even trying.
That's pretty funny, right?
Oh, it says here, In the Tenderloin, the same streets that are usually cleared by community ambassadors. Well, haven't they done the job?
That's really a great one.
Community ambassadors. Let's see. We've got the National Guard. We've got CHP. We've got community ambassadors. We've got San Francisco PD. Wow. All those uniformed government workers running around. Some of them have guns. Some of them have badges. Nothing changes. Everybody's getting paid, though.
Another resident said, when police show up, dealers just run around the corner. If they actually get caught, then other dealers move in and replace them. He says they need double or triple the enforcement. They're really going to make a dent in this.
I got one guy, he's been on the streets for 18 years. He's only seen everything get worse. Oh, 18 years. That almost matches Gavin Newsom's public career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Teenagers dying of overdoses on the street. Again, Newsom doesn't care. This is all theater, and everybody gets paid to participate in the theater. They're all actors on a stage. They're on the streets of San Francisco stage. Here, you wear an ambassador uniform. You're a cop. You're going to be the National Guard. You're going to be CHP. Okay, everybody have their costumes on now. Go ahead. Pretend you're trying to get the homeless off the street. Pretend you're trying to stop the drug scourge.
All right, when we return, we'll check in on the big local story, the writer's strike. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour, the soft,
yes. Seductive
wonderful tones.
Voice.
Yes. Yeah. Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We
have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.